Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Scale Up Method, where we teach you to reach the next level in your business, build your dream team, and scale beyond eight figures. Too many business owners are stuck trying to do everything themselves, and their businesses are suffering as a result. And I don't want you to be one of those people. I'm Allison Maslin, and my company, Pinnacle Global Network, has helped thousands of business owners scale their companies using my framework, the Scale Up Method. All business owners face similar challenges when it comes to growth. And so on this podcast, we are delivering the tactics you need to finally reach the next level in your business, build your dream team, and scale beyond eight figures.
And speaking of impact, we have such a powerful entrepreneur here today to share her journey. I know you're going to learn a ton. So meet Megan Riley, the owner and COO of Tippy Toes Incorporated, an international franchisor of children's dance, and the creator and host of Who Is Your Mama podcast. And we talked about that a little bit. It's the coolest thing. She's a Shark Tank alum, and she has scaled to 34 franchises of Tippy Toes. That means she has multiplied her company to 34 different locations. There's so much I want to ask her about that. She has even written children's music that has topped the Billboard music chart. So Megan, welcome to Scale or Fail.
Hi, Allison. I'm so excited to be here. This is exciting for me. I love your show.
Ah, thank you. Yeah. Well, we've been wanting to do this for a while. So, and also I found out that you actually grew up in Oklahoma.
I did. I'm from Tulsa.
That like is incredible because I'm from Tulsa and I don't meet that many people. Number one from the state that's like a fellow Okie, but also another Tulsa girl.
Me neither. I didn't know that. That makes me very excited because I have a lot of Oklahoma pride, but you're right. It doesn't really come up a lot. So I think yeah. I'm Oklahoma proud though.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I went to Memorial High School and
Well, you grew up right where I grew up because I didn't go there, but that's where I would have gone. So we probably need to find out exactly how close our paths probably crossed years ago.
Yeah, definitely. And I know one of your franchises is in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's scaling to 34 franchises is no small feat. I mean, business owners struggle with one location. So I would love to hear your backstory on how this journey began. Was it through a passion of dance? Was it, you know, I just want to be a business owner and figure out something that's going to be successful? Share how this all started for you.
Well, Tippy Toes started because the very short answer is because my sister got fired from a waitressing job and she had to make a car payment. And so it was like do or die.
I love that.
So Sarah Noose is my sister, the founder of Tippy Toes. She was a sophomore in college and she and I had a chance to go to a college football game, which if you grow up in Oklahoma, you know, college football chance, like you're going to go to the game.
Yes.
But the problem was Sarah missed a shift at work and she was a sophomore in college and she came back. We came back after going to South Bend for the weekend and she didn't see her name on the schedule. And her boss was like, yeah, you're fired. And so Sarah did what any sophomore in college would have done. She went to our parents and said, hey guys, I got fired, but I got a car payment. So do you want to help me out with this? And my parents said, absolutely not. And so, you know, she had to figure it out. And so, you know, conversations with my parents led to Sarah relying on her instincts. What is she good at? What comes naturally? Well, we've danced our whole life. She danced her whole life. She's great with kids. So they kind of concocted this plan to go into a local daycare in her college town and go in and say, hey, can I teach dance to the students here at the school? And that was the beginning of Tippy Toes. She did it through college as a part-time job. She's a few years older than I am. So then I came to school later and started doing the same thing. And then our lives, you know, changed a little bit. We'd go to a different city and we'd continue to bring Tippy Toes with us wherever we went, but we would hire people to kind of manage where we had already grown it. And it just really evolved naturally by us relying on our instincts. And, you know, now we have 34 franchises in the US. We've expanded to China. We have a master franchise over there. So obviously there's a lot of stuff between here and there, but it started out of a need to make money and then relying on our instincts. And, you know, from there, it's certainly scaled to where we are today.
You know, it is such a motivator when your back is against the wall. And Absolutely. As I'm sure when your parents said no to her, she was like, you know, probably not too happy about that. I had a similar situation as well, where I went to my mom for money and she's like, no, get a job. And I remember feeling, well, I'm just going to do this, you know? And who knows if they would have given her the money, if your sister would have had the motivation to figure this out. Right. So
absolutely. You know. And you know, what's interesting is we were running the business for a long time until our next failure, when again, our backs were against the wall in 2007, we were trying to pursue a television show for kids, and we fell flat on our face. And during that time, as we were like, you know, licking our wounds still over this failure, the idea of a franchise, somebody said, have you thought about franchising? And we were like, no, we'd never thought about it. And then that's kind of how that started. So I think so many times failure is such a great teacher if you let it, you know, like you can either wallow in it or you can be like, okay, what am I going to learn? And let's keep going. Let's keep rolling. Cause failure is going to come, you know, it's not if, it's just when, and then it's how you're going to handle it. So I welcome, I don't love failure, but when it comes, no. I know I'm going to learn something.
Yeah. You know, it's not like we invite it in, but when we get to that point that we hit a wall, we are forced to get creative and figure it out. You know, when things are going along pretty well, you're coasting. You know, what's the impetus to dive deeper and find a better solution? So yeah, I definitely have seen that in my life many, many times, when you're like, oh my gosh, and then something magical happens on the other side of it. So,
exactly. So
I have to ask you, what's it been like working with your sister? Have you had challenges? You know, I don't need all the dirt or anything like that, but I mean, I have a sister, she's 2 years younger than me, and you know, we love each other dearly. But you know, we can definitely do this as well, you know, just because mm-hmm. we're so close. And I know sometimes working with family can be challenging. So have you had any challenges or lessons through that process that could, you know, also help some of the family business viewers that are listening today?
Absolutely. It is very interesting dynamic, of course. You know, I think the first thing, the reason that it's worked really well for us is there's a lot of trust and love and respect at the get-go. And so I think sometimes family relationships, you know, when that's not there as a baseline, I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend doing this. But for us, we had that always. That was always, there was a mutual respect. We had fun doing things our whole life together. So we always got along. We always kind of had fun together. And so, you know, the other thing, to be honest, Allison, is this all happened so organically that served us well, because we've always just kind of shown up how we need to given the circumstances. And then the other thing I think that's really important that I've learned, so one of the lessons is that the work ethic matching is very important. Now, we yes. have different strengths. So Sarah is more of the visionary. She's more of the ideas. And I will be more of like, but how are we going to make it happen? How are we going to work at this? How's this going to get implemented? So we complement each other in that way. But our drive and our work ethic match. So while, you know, I might be focusing more in a certain area, I know she's busting it just the same amount. And that to me is why it's always worked for us. We are tenacious. We're both tenacious. We're working towards different things, but that's why it's worked for us. I think if I were to talk to somebody that was exploring this, working with somebody, a family member, I would say, first of all, you've got to have the baseline of a mutual respect, a trust, for sure. And you have to enjoy each other. And then I would say, do your work ethics match? And then that to me is the key. Those things are the things I would look at. If they work, then I would pursue it, because it's awesome. Because then I do think, Allison, we've been able to move faster, because I'm never yeah. like, what's her angle? Why does she want to do this? What, you know, there's no, right. we can just go fast because there's
yeah, you just have that rest. Level of trust. Exactly. Well, I mean, you said so much there, Megan. I'd like to unpack that, because first of all, you know, this idea of working together with family, but you already were in sync with one another, right? And so if you have a contentious relationship, Probably not a good idea, because if you're thinking about a partner anyway, it is like a marriage. Mm-hmm. And so you definitely need to be able to flow together. But the other thing that I think is so important, you know, I've had two partnerships, one that was awesome and one that was the opposite of awesome. And part of the thing, and this is not what is in the partnership agreement. So I always give advice to those that ask me about partnerships, and I'd love your thoughts around this. You know, when you sign a partnership agreement, there's the terms, there's the buyouts, there's all of those kinds of legalities. But the thing that often will hurt a partnership is exactly what you said, when one is pulling the weight and the other is not. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was what was happening in my partnership, mm-hmm. is that, you know, I kind of found that I was sort of left holding the bag on a lot of the different things going on, going, where is this person? You know,
right. Where's the partnership? And so,
right. And so for you, both tenacious, both have your areas of the company, but you're all in, committed and going after it. And then you're never wondering, like, you know, am I doing this on my own? You know that you're in it together. That's powerful. Right.
It is. And you know, it's not something that you can really put in a contract. It's one of those intangible things. You just need to know that person well enough to know how they operate. It's really more of how they go through their day. And, you know, you could probably look at their relationships, their household. How do they, you know, how do they show up in other areas of their life? Because the truth is how we do, I'm stealing this from Jesse Itzler, how you do anything is how you do everything. So, yes. You know, if you're kind of, you know, half-assing, forgive me, you know, one part of your life, that's probably going to be how you're going to show up in other parts of your life. And so the answer is actually there for people to see. It's if you want to really see it. It's if you're really looking for it, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's crucial, and it's really tricky because it's not going to be in black and white in a contract. You can't really, it doesn't fit there, you know, but it's something to evaluate without a doubt. And I'd say it's even more important than whatever is in the black and white.
I agree. And I think that sometimes people jump into a partnership because they're running their business and they're tired and they don't want to do it alone anymore. And so they're looking for the partner to have someone as a, you know, just as an extra support system. And they may not have their eyes wide open, or they may see the red flags, but they're not really willing to look at them. So I think that is just, you know, super, super important. And I'm glad you guys work together so well. Now, franchising is quite the undertaking. It's a great scale strategy. It's one of the 15, you know, major scale strategies of the most successful companies, and one that we work with our clients all the time in Pinnacle. So why, you got that suggestion, you know, hey, why don't you do franchising? Why did you decide to go that route? And you know, we'll dive into that a little bit more, but
yeah, it's a great question. And I love that you do this at Pinnacle, because I think I've heard so many times that people feel very scared or intimidated by the whole idea of it. And I think it's such a valuable way to scale a business. So I love that that is an offering that you guys, one of the many great things that you all do at Pinnacle. For us, this is literally what happened. Somebody mentioned franchising, and I thought to myself, like, McDonald's, like Subway, like, what do you mean franchising? How would we do that? You know, I knew nothing. I knew absolutely nothing. So after this trip, we were in LA when someone mentioned it. I fly back home and I get Franchise Management for Dummies, and I start going through the book, and I'm like, we kind of do this already. Like, we could do this. And I saw it in black and white, and I saw what it was, and I understood the framework. I thought, we actually are built for this. We absolutely can do this. We've actually kind of been doing it without knowing it. Having said that, I also knew, like, okay, we got to get a lot of stuff together. We got to do some work. We've got to roll up our sleeves. We've got to write down every single thing we think, do, breathe, want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to write it all down. Like, how is this going to actually work? But that was for me when I understood the framework. And it doesn't have to be scary. Get a basic book, get a general understanding of what it is, get some experts in your corner, and then you execute. And that's exactly what we did. So, you know, we understood, what is a franchise disclosure document? What does that look like? How would I put this together? You know, and you start to put those pieces together. It was clear that we could do it. And we, you know, got a consultant to work with us there in the beginning. And, you know, it was fun. It was exciting. And the idea, the other thing that was happening at the same time, Allison, is Sarah and I were tapped out. We were still teaching dance classes. We had done this at that point.
Yes.
You know, for, it was a number, at that point, it was like 8 years we had been doing it. She and I had been doing it ourselves. We love it. I love being in the classroom. It's so much fun. I can only teach so many kids. And we believed so much in what we did, but like, I can't teach the world. I can't teach every child in the world. So then how do we do this? How do we expand? And that was an answer. It was like, oh, that's an answer. We can teach more kids. Plus at the same time, I had friends saying, you're so lucky. You work from home. You can go get your hair done whenever you want to without asking for work off. You can, you know, you can have this flexibility. This is amazing. And I thought, yeah, it is. That's all I've ever known, all I ever had. But like, I could clearly see other people wanted those kind of opportunities to have the business ownership. And so is this perfect storm of all these things really showing themselves at a certain time. And then us just taking that leap of faith. So we worked with a consultant. We spent a year getting our documents together, working through everything. And then we spent 1 year with our first franchise owner because we knew that we were going to screw up a whole lot of stuff and we wanted to do it with one person and, you know, fix all those things. And we did. And then we just continued to grow very organically over the next few years, several years. And, you know, and also grow our families, our personal lives were growing and having babies and all of that. So there was a lot of growing going on, but that was really how it came about. And it's, I love franchising. I love it so much. I believe in it so much, whether you buy a Tippy Toes franchise or another one, I think there is so much value in being a part of a system that's proven, that's, you know, stood the test of time. You know, we've been around, Tippy Toes has been offering classes since 1999. Like throw something at us. Let me tell you how we'll do. We'll be just fine. We've gone through it all and we've stood the test of time. So
you sure have. That is such something to be so, so proud of. Hi, everyone. Allison here. Now, if you are a CEO or founder and you're ready to build a scalable company that can thrive without you, join me for a free masterclass where we teach you the five critical phases you've got to know in order to scale your business to eight figures and beyond. So head on over to scalemasterclass.com/podcast to secure your seat today. You're going to leave knowing exactly where you are in the scaling process, what you need to do to get to the next level in business. And then I'm going to give you the 15 scalable models that the most successful companies use to make hundreds of millions to even billions of dollars. So head over to scalemasterclass.com/podcast to secure your seat today. And I will see you there. Now, with all that we're saying, have you had moments? I'm sure you've had moments where you feel like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Like, why did we decide to go down this path? Or, you know, I had the moments of, you know, I could just be a barista at Starbucks. Like I could just do that. You know, I've had those moments in my long entrepreneurial career.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing with franchising is in a way you're taking your baby and you're being like, here, like take good care of it. And that's, can be really overwhelming. It can be really a scary place to be. So absolutely 1,000,000% I've had the moments of like, oh my gosh, why, you know, everything was fine before. And this is, you know, there's attorneys, we are following laws, there's rules, there's people coming to me with questions that I didn't think of, like, I don't know, figure it out. Like my MO in my life and the way I've always been is like, I just figure everything out. Like that's just how I've operated. And so then, but now it's being a franchisor is totally different. Then now I need a hat, you know, there's people coming, there's questions, there's, you know, things people need to follow through. So it's a different role. But there have been many times that I've thought that, I mean, I thought that when, you know, when we had the failure of trying to get the TV show and then like that, there was time when that was just like hard and bad. And, you know, the idea of passing over what you're doing with franchising is a big thing to swallow because it's this model and this business that you care so much about, and you're giving somebody else that opportunity to run it. I don't like when you're doing that, they are going to have Tippy Toes on their shirt. They are Tippy Toes to everybody that they meet. Nobody cares who I am. They are right. tippy toes. So there is immense trust that I have to have. Yes, there are contracts. Yes, there are agreements. At the end of the day, though, like that is a person that has this logo that means so much to me. So there's those moments of freak out, you know, but I will say one of the things that has always served me as an entrepreneur is I don't spend a ton of time in fear or in that space because it doesn't serve me at all. It doesn't help me have momentum forward. It freezes me and it makes me feel uncomfortable. And I don't ever do anything productive when I'm feeling fear. And I think a lot of times, most of the fear that we feel is unwarranted or over exaggerated in our head, and it just doesn't really go anywhere. And so that's been, I'd say it's a natural thing, but I've also over the years learned that that's served me well to not carry a lot of fear and worry and concern about things like that. Now I have great attorneys and we've got good things in place and I'm mindful of that, but I don't spend a lot of time in the place of fear or concern because it doesn't serve me. It doesn't keep
How do you shift out of it though? If it does come up, let's just say, yeah. Or you start to have your doubts, which I think is just a human emotion. And, you know, it sounds like you're really good at shifting out of it. Is there anything that you do? Is there a conversation that you have with yourself?
Yes.
How do you deal with that?
There's a couple things. I have a couple people in my life that just help pop me out of those kind of things. Whether, you know, one of them is my mom, another one of them is more of like a coach figure in my life. So sometimes it's a conversation with them. The other thing that I've done that's just with myself that has helped me tremendously is I send out 365 notes a year. And I started this almost a couple years ago. It's a little less than that. And they are notes of encouragement, notes of gratitude, notes of I'm thinking of you, notes of I hope you're doing okay. Sorry, this happened, whatever. It's a chance for me to get out of my own head and think about somebody else and congratulate somebody else or just put somebody else's interests at the forefront for me. It might sound a little like, you know, soft or whatever, but it's been a wonderful tool in my life. And it's just something I've just kind of discovered, but it's really helped me in those moments. And I mean, I discovered it during the pandemic, like, hello, there have been plenty of moments of like pulling my hair out and I get out of my own head. And I get out of my own space and I'm like, let's focus on other people. So this idea of service for me is much more than like something that makes me feel warm and fuzzy. It's also very practical and helps me as a business owner. And so, that's just something that I'm committed to and I batch them. I have a whole process and plan and I have a spreadsheet that I follow and it makes me feel good. And then it makes other people feel good. And it's really helped me. It's really been a great tool. It's something anybody can do.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's switch gears for a second because I want to talk about, you know, when you're building franchises and you have those, all those locations, there are lots of employees and, you know, you've got your franchisees and their employees and so forth. And right now, a lot of businesses are complaining they can't find great team members. You know, people don't want to work. Are you finding challenges there? And what is Tippy Toes doing to attract the right people? For the team. Is there anything you can share with us?
Absolutely. I can, because we have something new that I really am excited about because to be perfectly honest, the pandemic, our model is going into schools and offering dance classes on site. So the pandemic was not an easy road for us. We were not the Zoom of pandemics where everything was like booming, you know, it was mm-hmm. a real challenge. And staffing is a challenge in general, you know, it always is. But one of the things that we have done and one of the things that we have seen just naturally over the course of our business is that a lot of our franchising has grown from within. So we'll have a teacher start teaching dance classes and have fun. They move to a manager and then they're like, wait a minute, I can do this for a job. This is great. How could this work? And so one of the things that we have done to help with employment and to help our franchise owners is we have recently developed an apprenticeship program where our teachers have incentive and extra training and opportunities to move from being a part-time teacher to having their own business. And, you know, I mean, we started the business, Sarah started it when she was 19. This business can be run by someone who is young without business experience. You're getting a turnkey business. And there's a lot of greatness that comes with that. So what's great is now we have a more enticing opportunity for teaching. It's not just like, hey, come teach some part-time dance classes. Now it's like, we will offer you leadership training, extra, you know, training for the dance classes. And if you, you know, hit these marks, XYZ, work for us for this amount of time and do these certain things, then on the back end, we will honor what you've done and honor your loyalty to the company and the work you've done. And we will give you a discounted franchise in a certain place. And for us, it's amazing because, you know, we love to invest in the people that are invested in Tippy Toes. Our franchise owners love it because their staff is getting deeper training, leadership training. That's amazing. And then our staff is seeing that we're investing in them. This isn't just, doesn't have to just stop with, you know, 8 hours of teaching dance to kids. It can be more. And I think sometimes it's also like helping people see the bigger dream. Like, I think some people are scared sometimes to dream that dream of running their own company, but it doesn't have to be that scary, especially when you're working within a framework. And so that's one of the things that we've done. We've created this apprenticeship program to entice people to make it a better part-time job. It's not just a part-time job because there's all these potential, you know, windfalls for them as they go. And then our franchise owners love it too, because it gets, you know, their staff that much more trained and committed and invested in the brand. And so that's one of the things that we have done, is really investing in our part-time employees and letting them see the path forward to possible business ownership.
Yeah. I mean, they've done a lot of studies, and I think with everything that's going on right now in the world, people want a place that they can feel that they belong, that it's like a second home. You know, it's not just a paycheck. Of course, the paycheck is important, but is this something that I feel a sense of purpose? Can I grow here? And you're offering all of those things. Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely, you know, for those of you listening and you are having that struggle, those are some things, you know, how much stickiness does the position have? Do your people feel like there is a potential future? Can they learn? I love that you're doing leadership training. I think that's, you know, all of those things add up. What do you feel is the most important thing? It sounds like this is also helps to build a good culture in the company. What do you feel like you've learned are some of the most important things in building a strong company culture?
It's a great question. What I love about this question is there's a lot of answers you could get. And there's a lot of ways to do it. And there's a lot of ways to get it right. I know it's not about a ping pong table. And I know it's not about, you know, the bonuses.
Pizza parties. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not about the pizza parties. I really think it's about the development of the people and letting people know it's more than a job. It's a community, you know, and I'll be honest, we have gone sometimes too, you know, when we were starting, probably too far in the direction of this is a family, and needed to maybe be more in the direction of this is a community. So that's one lesson that we have learned, is there's a difference there. You know, family loves you unconditionally. We can't do, there are conditions to this business. So yeah, it's more of a community and holding your own. But also, you know, we want good for you and your family. When the pandemic hit, our royalty went way down. We didn't say, in the agreement, actually, it says, this is what you owe. We said, the world is falling, crashing around us. We're going to put a pin in this, and we're going to sometimes lower it to $5 in some cases. We care more about the people than we do about the bottom line. The bottom line works itself out. And, yeah. And I'm proud to say that we lived that. It wasn't easy. It wasn't super fun, but we care more about the people. So if you're asking me about culture, it's about really putting your actions behind showing that you care about the people. You know, we've done, but also the balance of, like, there's accountability in everything that you're doing. One of the things Sarah loves to do, the CEO and the founder of Tippy Toes, my sister, she loves to run accountability groups, and she does that for our franchise owners. So, you know, and it's just like a little extra kick, a little extra push, and it's just something they can do. Well, if they went somewhere else, they'd pay, you know, X amount of dollars to do that. But like, we're like, well, we want to help you. We want to see you grow. We want to see you thrive. It's not just about this or that. So, people know when they are cared for. People know when you care about them. And I don't think you can fake that or put a ping pong table in place to trick everyone into it. If you don't really mean it, you know, like, you can put a ping pong table in, but you also have to be like a good human and take care of the people around you.
Yeah. It's that authenticity, you know, and do what you say you're going to do, and do your values. Are they the same on the inside as the outside? So now you were on, your business was featured on Shark Tank.
Yes.
And you had an offer by Mark Cuban.
We did.
And, you know, so what was the experience like? And, you know, were there some perks to that? What ended up happening?
Yes. Yeah. So we were on season 2 of Shark Tank, which is crazy because it was like 10 years ago. It was a really long time ago.
Yeah, that is a while ago.
It was a long time ago. It was to the point that we would tell people afterwards we were going to go where we were on Shark Tank. And they're like, are you like swimming with sharks? Like it wasn't the household name that it is today, which is so funny because it's so well known now. The whole experience was fascinating. First of all, we didn't even know. My brother-in-law submitted an application for Sarah and I without telling us. So months later, we get a call. We get a call and they're like, you have been selected. We'd like to talk with you and have you go through the application process to be on Shark Tank. And Sarah calls me. She's like, they found us. You're never going to believe it. We get to be on Shark Tank because we love season one. Like we're entrepreneur junkies. So the show was like right up our alley. And then my brother-in-law was like, oh good. They got the application. And we're like, what application? So he submitted it. And the process is really interesting. They keep you on the ropes the whole time. I mean, it's a TV show. They're not there to make you feel good or like help you along the way or tell you all certainties. You know, we don't know when we're going to go. We don't know if we get to go to LA. You do all the work to prepare. Are we going to get in front of the sharks? If we get in front of the sharks, are we going to get aired? It's all, you never really know. So you just got to be there ready, you know, ready to go at any moment. We got the call the last day. We were in LA for a week, my sister and I mean, it was great. And we get the call the last day of shooting, we get to go in front of the sharks and it was awesome. It was so much fun. We're in front of them for an hour. They show 8 minutes on TV. So that's really interesting. You know, but we were super focused on what we needed to do when we were there. And so by the time we were in front of the sharks, we had been focusing on all the right things leading up to that time. And so when it came to the pitch and the questions and the follow through, we were ready. And so we were also confident, and sharks want to see somebody that's confident and knows their numbers and knows what's going on. And because we'd focused on the right things in the weeks and months leading up to it, we were ready. So we were there in the Shark Tank with three offers. Mark ended up kind of outmaneuvering Barbara and he, you know, we got the deal with Mark, super excited, really pumped up, give a high five and a hug. And we go back down that scary hallway at Shark Tank. And then after the fact, we go back home and, you know, we're emailing a little bit back and forth with Mark. He was responsive and awesome. Meanwhile, we're working with his team to work through the contract. And unfortunately there were some things in the contract that we were trying to negotiate and work through that didn't feel great to us. And there wasn't going to be much of negotiating at that point. I don't think that's something that they normally have to do. And so we had a decision to make. Are we going to sign this contract, even though there's things in it that didn't feel good to us, or are we going to walk away? And you know, we relied on our instincts and what we felt in our heart was the right thing to do. And so we told Mark, thank you, but no, thank you. We're going to pass. And we decided to walk away from the deal. And, you know, it's funny because everyone's like, what, why would, you know, but it didn't feel right. And if I know anything, I know that I've been given instincts for a reason. And you know, one of the things that was going to happen is that we were going to have to just sign franchise agreements and just sign contracts. And, you know, we are entrepreneurs and the idea of just signing contracts just felt like it was ripping so much of who I am. Like, I want to write songs. I want to have a TV show still. I want to build things. I want to do this. I don't want to just, you know, and so there were just certain things like that we had to be really honest with ourselves about. So we ended up not, you know, going through with the deal. No ill will. It just didn't work out. And so we've built the business, you know, without that partnership. And honestly, haven't looked back, Allison. Like, you know, I don't believe in looking back either, because I'm kind of like, there's nothing there. Like, we're just going forward.
Yeah,
just-
I think a lot of business is following your gut, and nobody can get into your shoes to what that feels like. And I know for me, I have to absolutely love what I'm doing. Like, if I had the thought, like you did, visualizing myself spending my time doing stuff that doesn't excite me, like, I mean, what would be the point? Right. So
I totally agree. And I hear that all the time from people like, oh, how do you do so many things? And I'm like, I only do the things I love. So like, it's not hard to do when you're doing what you love. Like, I don't mind doing it at 10 o'clock at night on the couch, cause I love it. Like, whether it's the podcast or tippy toes or speaking or whatever, I love it. I love it so much. And I care about it and I believe in it. So I've learned that over time. Like, I didn't know that all the time, but once I've learned the importance of loving what you do, even if there's a lot of money at play, I'm like, money will come. Money is an outcome. It can't be my motivation to do something. And that was one of the things with this deal. It was like, that can't be why, right? Cause if I'm good at what I do, money's going to come, you know, that's going to be there. So, I totally agree. I think following your heart and doing things you love is crucial in whatever you do in life.
100%, 100% has to be there. And speaking of things that you love, you also have a podcast and it's called Who Is Your Mama? And you and I talked about this a little bit. So can you just share quickly what the podcast is about? Because I think it's super clever.
Thank you. Yes. It's called Who Is Your Mama? And I have three little girls and, you know, at a certain point I was like, how do I raise great humans? You know, there's one thing to like know which diaper or cream to pick. It's another thing to be like, how do I raise someone who's honest and kind and loving and driven and, you know, like all the things you hope for your children. And I thought, well, I love my mom. She's awesome. She's got a ton of wisdom and I go to her for everything. What about the moms that have raised Allison Maslin? What about the mom that raised Sarah Blakely? What about the mom that raised Kara Golden? Like, what about all these people? Like, they've done it. What did they do? How did they do it? Why would I not go to an expert? Just because they're not writing books doesn't mean they're not an expert. And so I got really excited at the idea of seeking out the moms of people who are happy, fulfilled, successful CEOs, NFL quarterbacks, you know, entertainers, all of those kind of people. And I started reaching out and trying to get interviews and oh my gosh, I have just loved it. It has helped me as a parent. It has been so fun. I love it for a few different reasons. One, just they have great knowledge. You know, they also never get the spotlight. And I love that we get to put that spotlight on these moms. I've interviewed one dad. He was a single dad that raised an amazing person. That interview hasn't been released yet, but I love that there's a spotlight on them and they've got such wisdom to share and they are so humble and, you know, also nobody's really asking these questions. And so I've loved it. It's one of my loves. I'm actually relaunching it. So repackaging it a little bit, which is really exciting. And it's such a gift in my life.
Oh, I think it's so clever. I will have to get my mom for sure.
I would love
on your show. It's, yes, you know, I think I told you this at one of my events, she was there and she just turned 90 last weekend and she still drives. She's very independent. Mm-hmm. She is such a kick, but she was at one of my big events. And I said, Mom, do you want to say anything? She goes, no, I don't think so. And then here we are, we're at the events, the first day we just opened and, you know, she was sitting down in the front row. And I said, we had a microphone there. I go, you know, I introduced her. She pulled that microphone up and just starts on and on and on telling all these stories about me. I'm like, we could barely get her to stop talking. It was hysterical. And I'm just so happy I have it on film, you know, her. It was really like so heartwarming and cute. So.
It's a treasure. And that's been one of the fun things too, Allison. I remember after I interviewed Jay Williams. So Jay Williams is on ESPN. He played for the Bulls. He played for Duke. He's a great human being. He's on ESPN all the time. And he called me after I interviewed his mom. And he was like, Megan, this is awesome. I've never heard my mom talk this way. I've never asked these questions. This is such a gift to my family. And I never thought about that part of it, to be honest. I was selfishly like, I want to learn how you did it. I want to be a better mom. But then I've learned it's been a gift to these families because you hear your mom talk about what she cared about when she was raising you. A lot of those conversations aren't always had. So that's been another fun kind of side note of it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, I love everything that you're up to. I am so excited that we finally made this happen. And I'm sure those of you that are listening, it's gotten your wheels turning about franchising and all of the things that you're up to and really following your passion. So thank you so much for being with us today. If people want to learn more about you, definitely go to subscribe to your podcast, Who's Your Mama? Yes. Is there anywhere else that they should check things out? Maybe your tippy toes. Maybe we have some franchisees listening.
That's right. We can get some people started in their business. So you can go check out tippytoesdance.com. And that's tippy is spelled T-I-P-P-I. That sometimes can trick people up, but tippytoesdance.com. And then I'm very active on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. So at Megan L. Riley, I spend a lot of time there talking business, mindset, franchising, speaking, all of those kinds of things. So those are two good spots to find me.
Awesome. And you may just get a card from her in the mail. So Anyway, thank you for being here and thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe to Scale or Fail if you haven't done so already. And until next time, get out there and elevate yourself because you are worth it. Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Scale It Method. A quick reminder about our free masterclass. If you want to build a scalable company that can thrive without you and you're ready to get the support you need to do it, sign up for my masterclass today
And during our time together, I will teach you the 5 critical phases you must know in order to scale to 8 figures and beyond. So head on over to scalemasterclass.com/podcast to secure your seat, and I'll see you there.